Coming to you from the Underground Studio, this is the Sipping Social Podcast. My name is Mike Caro. I'm here with my boy and certified bourbon steward, Garrett Turnquist.
Yo.
We've also got our stellar producer on the mic, Johnny. Say what up.
What up?
We're here to dive into all aspects of the restaurant industry. We truly love what we do and love talking about it. We're going to pour, sample, and review anything you need to know about. Pour yourself a cocktail and join us on this journey.
Let's go.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We appreciate you joining the Sipping Social Podcast today. This is episode number 72. This is the William Perry episode, a.k.a. The Refrigerator, a badass from the 85 Bears. And we're gonna have some fun with that name and some stuff later. That's going to be a little bit of a surprise, which will be fun. We're back in the Underground Studio for the first time in a while after doing some fun events. We'll go over those. And we got lots of fun other things to talk about. So before we get into that, let's have a little cheers. I got the Last Dream from our boys over at Hidden Hands in Salamoth.
I got the same beer.
Johnny, what you got?
And I got myself a nice Coors Light. Drinking this out of some vintage glassware here, boys. You got the same glass as I do. These were actually in my garage for probably 20 years. They were given to me by a coworker in the early 2000s.
Nice.
I believe these glasses are like 50 years old, but they're like the old like little pint glasses you'll get at some like low-down bar like in the 50s. So
love it, man. They look great. Old style on the logo, and they look like little Pilsner glasses to me.
Yeah.
Gary, would you agree with that type of glassware?
It's super easy to grab. Yeah. And seems like way easier to chug.
It makes the beer delicious. So cheers to you guys. Cheers to
John. Just put
half
his beer down in 2 seconds. I have to go get him another one.
Cheers.
Like I almost like think like I would see this at a bowling alley.
Yeah, or almost diner.
Yeah.
Type bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Vintage. Very cool. All right, let's get into our restaurant news. Got to thank all the listeners and supporters that came to the live show at Social. That was our fourth live show on the second floor. What a magnificent night. It always goes by so quickly, and I always forget about that, so I need to start like slowing it down for myself and cherishing that. But Noon Whistle killed it. Old Elk killed it.
Dude, Eric did a great job explaining the brand like in a really quick fashion, and then he like stuck around and was pouring out people whiskey that is still not in Illinois yet. The cognac finished wheat.
Nice. And then obviously Mike and Paul from Noon Whistle coming up on the mics, and those guys are so fun and knowledgeable, and it became a party pretty quickly.
Dude, the same thing happened at Pinhook, where like Sean from Pinhook like stayed, and I stuck with him for the very end, and then until I like watched him get in an Uber, and the same thing happened with the guys from Noon Whistle. I was like, I'm so happy to hang out with you. This is fun. When is your Uber coming? Because they're putting chairs up.
It's time to go.
Yeah. But if there's got to be someone who's got to stick around with him, I'm 100% raising my hand first.
You've done that multiple times and killed it every time.
It's fun. I think it's fun.
Johnny, what did you think about that show?
It was a great show, but I was just going to say it's always wonderful the next day because like we just get so, I mean, maybe I just do it, but like get pretty ripped on those live shows.
Not so before, during, so after, like, after, for sure.
So
after.
We leave all the gear there that night, and then it's like wonderful the next day to try to get it out before they open it, you know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning.
It's like cleaning up your living room after a house party. Like all the things that you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that is the Rumpelman sign still on the bar?
Yeah, in the upper bar, it's still there.
Good. You should sign that.
There was a bartender that was like, I think she was serving that night. I forgot her
name.
She goes, "Isn't this your sign?"
So meaning you should take it home.
Yeah,
and get it out of the bar.
I left it there.
I know you did.
Good.
It's still up there.
It's literally the only branded sign we have in any of our restaurants.
Yeah, you probably got about another month of it being allowed up there. After that, it'll be tucked away somewhere.
You say that now. It'll be there for a year.
And the many shout outs we got to give for the live show, we got to give a shout out to our friend and listener who works at Salamo, Jordan. She's I believe the bar manager over there.
Yeah.
She brought a fresh case of Salamo Hidden Hand beers. And these are all 16 ounce beers, 24 of them, and gave them to us. This is on top of what?
When?
That night.
I don't remember that.
I know. I asked you if you wanted some and you said no. And John said no too. So I got an Uber ride home. For some reason, I thought it was a good idea to grab the sign that was pretty large.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So this is
24 by 18 sign.
And then Brett, another one of our friends and listeners, gifted me a bottle of the Benchmart Single Barrel that night. Just gave it to me. So I walked out of social with.
It was like a pallet of case, like 36 beers.
A full case of beers, all 16 ounces, which is pretty heavy. A bottle of booze that I was balancing on top, and
you
then
were pretty
the,
strong.
And then the sign.
Yeah,
I was carrying all three of those things into the Uber. I literally had to go there the next day at noon to do work. I could have left everything there and
on
got
the
it
table,
then.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm taking all this with me.
Yeah.
I got home and I'm like, why did I bring all this stuff home?
I think in the future we should have everyone who shows up to the event sign the.
Oh, that's a great idea.
The sign.
That's a 100% a great idea.
Yeah.
Get like a gold Sharpie.
Whatever, yeah. I mean, obviously not black, but yeah, something. Yeah. And then
gold's off brand, Mike. We need to.
No,
silver.
Gold's back in, John.
Is it?
It's 100%.
Oh, okay. It's been back in.
Well, don't tell me it's off because my back bar's got a lot of gold on it in my house.
That's
so.
Still in.
It's
still
no,
in
I mean it's off
good.
Our brand, not
oh.
off.
Yeah,
not off style. Oh. Yeah.
All right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We've turned into a to a color podcast.
Yay. All right. Let's get on to the next thing.
Thank
the
God.
Last time we got together, we interviewed Hard Truths Distilling out of Indiana, their master distiller, Brian Smith, on the second floor of Maze. So two very cool things in a row. But honestly, hanging out with Brian and after listening to that episode, I'm still impressed with him and how much fun I had with him and how much I learned in a short amount of time. And once again, just a normal kind of dude that just knows his shit and just wants to hang out.
Yeah, he was kind of in the nicest way, like in person I want to hang out the most, like super nerd.
He was geeky about it, but he would tell you that.
About the bottle, the yeast, anything that we wanted to talk about, like he would go into. I mean, we talked about the bottle shape for like 10 minutes, which I think is really cool. And I think by the end of it, when we were trying to wrap it up, I think I could have gone on for another hour and a half.
Oh, for sure. He was easy to talk to, easy to hang out with, passionate about everything. And I felt like each time we asked him a question, he's like, we could have our own podcast on that question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is cool. And we could have. And I guarantee you he'll come back on the podcast with us and he's going to do more Rumplements.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I got this saying right, but he said something really fun after we asked him if he wanted to do a shot of Rumplements, and I believe
told him he's going to. I didn't mean to ask. Like,
no, you asked. So you're nice about it because you always ask. You're like, what's your thoughts on Rumplements? That's what you
asked
him.
Okay.
And he's like, you could tell he hadn't had it in a long time. Like, nobody asks anybody for if they want Rumplements these days, right? So
not except for Johnny.
Well, but not, I didn't mean it like that. Like, that's just like the whiskey world.
Army of one. Yeah. Army of one.
Carrying the brand on your shoulders.
Hear that Rumplements brand if you're listening?
Yeah, more signs.
So I'm pretty sure his response was, well, it ain't going to kill me. And I was just like, oh, that's perfect. That's like, that should be the response. And the maybe not the slogan for Rumps.
No, definitely not the slogan.
But it's got some good value. It won't kill you.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. More whiskey stuff.
Can you imagine if it was? What a horrible brand. Hey, did you see the new commercial for Rumplements? Yeah. It won't kill you.
Listen, there's been lots of like things in the past in our history
that do kill you.
That do kill you. And they said it was going to be good for you.
Yeah.
So whatever. At least they're telling you they're not going to kill you. All right, Gary, tell us a little bit about number three on the Google Doc up there.
We got our next whiskey dinner. It's going to happen at Proof 5 on April 30th, which is a Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m. It's going to be balls to the wall. The chef team has already started creating the menu for it. It's going to be pretty good from what I've seen so far. The ticket price is $125, which
Steal.
Is a little bit more than our last whiskey dinner we did with Michter's at Maze at Mash, but the products that we're going to be tasting out are better.
Nice.
Or more expensive and harder to find. We're doing, you walk in, $125 gets you dinner, gets you a cocktail.
Five course meal.
Five course dinner. It gets you a cocktail with Michter's bourbon. You get some bomb burgers, some shanks, Michter's 10 bourbon.
Insane.
Which, like, shot up in value tremendously over the past 2 years. And then, Michter's 10 rye.
Love it.
And then we're putting the Michter's 20 and the Michter's 25 bourbon, where if you haven't seen one of those, that's because they're super hard to find. like 15 bottles of 25 came to Illinois this year. We got two of them, not to brag. And so the both of those pours of the 20 and 25 are going to be half off that night.
Discounted for everybody that
just,
purchases
just
a ticket,
for,
right?
Just for that day.
That's awesome. If it's going to be anything like the Pappy dinners at Mays, the Michter's dinner at Mays, what you guys have done out in Barrel and Rye, I mean, like, it's going to be off the hook. And this whiskey
they're the
is
most
insane.
Fun. They're the most fun events that I do in general. Like, I love the general whiskey class I do, but these are just so much fun because, one, we're actually feeding people, and then people get to try food that's not on the normal menu.
That's the best part.
And then you get to try some really cool whiskey. And then Raven, who is the Midwest brand, I don't know if brand ambassador is the right word, but basically she's going to be there.
She's cool.
And she is awesome.
Yeah, she's fun to hang out with.
All I want to do is hang out with her.
Yeah.
She took her and her fiance, they're married now, but took my wife and I to a Cubs game, and it was like an amazing day. So
you guys had a good time?
It was so much fun. I told her when we were doing this that her husband has to come. And if he comes, then my wife would come. And my Molly would never come to any of these things.
Nice.
But now she's in?
Yeah, she has to come because I didn't tell Molly this at all. But so her husband's coming, and so she's coming too. So if you want to come and try some really good food and some even better bourbon, you can also meet Raven and her husband and my wife.
Raven will have a lot of good insights on the brand.
Oh, she's been with them. When she first started with Michter, she was just like a tour guide. And then, like, worked her way up within that, like, in that downtown Louisville production facility. And then she went on to be the same position she is now, but in the Pacific Northwest, and did an amazing job out there. And when the position opened up here in the Midwest, she's from Chicago originally, so it was, like, an easy transition to come back home. So now, and it's closer to the distillery, which has got to be great for picking up samples and extra bottles. So she is very smart, and she's been around Michter's for a very long time. And
nice.
Just in general, just like a cool person.
Yeah. I agree with all that. That's very cool.
Be a good add to the evening.
Yeah. That's going to be a great event, guys. Go to the website at proofnumber5.com. Go to the events and then just put your deposit down and it reserves your spot. Garrett's going to be leading it with Raven that night. I'll be there helping out. Johnny's going to be DJing and we're going to have a great time.
And if you want to hear Darude, Johnny will play it.
Oh, nice. What about Sandstorm?
I will play anything.
That's nice. That's Darude.
Oh, that's the song?
It's Dan Storm.
Oh, okay. And then Darude is the band?
Yeah, or the DJ.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we'll edit this part out.
Thank God. All right, sweet. No, because then the Wendy's commercials just come in my head. All right, so
spicy nuggets
some actual restaurant news, not us just talking about our restaurants. All right, so the new concept going into the old Muldoon's building on the corner of Hale Street and Front Street by the Bien Trucha Toda Madre group is Sabores Chingones. I don't know what that means. Someone did say that they know what it means, right, John, in that text, right?
Didn't it's like, it means like fucking good ingredients, basically.
All right, I'm looking it up right now because we fact checked everything.
So, yeah. Of course. So Muldoon's 4 is now going to be... Say it again, Jen.
Fucking good ingredients.
Oh, man. That's what a great name for a restaurant.
Yeah.
And to think that when Front Street Cantina first opened up, they couldn't be called Cantina because their name was Bar, but they can use the word Spanish for fucking now.
I don't think anybody in Wheaton knows what the word means.
No, obviously not.
Yeah, clearly. They know what Cantina.
We don't either.
They know what Cantina. Yeah, that's why we're checking it out. All right. While Garrett's doing that...
No, I really think it is that. Like, I think Sabores.
Well, Google says that it means cool flavors.
Oh, that's what it is. Fucking good flavors.
Cool. Oh, yeah. So today's Mexican Spanish word of the day is chingon, which is basically something that we consider to be badass or cool. So, like, badass flavors.
Yeah.
Oh, badass flavors.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I was close.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it sounds better.
We asked someone who's speak Spanish, and they said basically, yeah, it was like if it's fucking good or really good or excellent.
Badass flavors.
Yeah. Badass it's fucking flavors. Awesome.
All right, cool. That's dope. Are we thinking that's going to be like on the higher end as far as
I hope
Mexican
so.
Cuisine goes?
I hope so.
I agree.
I hope it's like higher end, but not like like $25 for three tacos.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it. We walk by it all the time. I see it pretty much 5 to 20 times a week, so... Let you know how that's going. This is kind of a cool thing. We've been following this and talking about this for a little while pre this brand coming to Illinois, but it's now in Illinois, Benchmark, which was their only their regular bourbon was available in Illinois.
Yeah, they're like their base.
The base bourbon. And then Garrett and I discovered a plethora of other expressions when we went to Kentucky
in
Bardstown last year. And we tried all of them and came home with a bottle of single barrel, which we reviewed, which on episode 64, if you want to go back and listen to that about it and how much we loved it, and Johnny was raving about it, they're now available at Binny's from anywhere from $17.99 to $25.99. And in my opinion, this is like value whiskey.
Oh, it's Value City.
At its best.
And the $25.99 is like the 125 proof.
Yeah.
So you're getting like a two or three year bourbon that's the exact same mash bill as Eagle Rare, Buffalo Trace for $25. I mean, it's much younger, right? I mean,
yeah, it's much younger. But it's really good for the price.
Yeah. I mean, really think good. Like Eagle Rare is 90 proof at 10 years. This is 3 years old at 125 for half the price.
Yeah, I'm not going to put this podcast out until I go get my own. So,
dude, I saw, from the pictures I saw, there's hundreds of them.
There's lots of options.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah. And then each one of our restaurants got one bottle of each. So if for some reason you can't find one, I'll just take one.
Garrett's got you.
Yeah.
But
I'll give me $20 and I'll give you a bottle.
I'm telling you, everybody, go out and get a bottle of this. Drink it by itself. Make cocktails with it. Come talk to us about it. I think it's very, very cool. We kind of were ahead of the game on drinking that shit before it came to Illinois, and I think you guys will enjoy it. So
yeah, we're so cool. We're so cool.
We're so cool.
We know about it before.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah,
they know.
What's funny is that people in like Kentucky are probably looking at us going, fucking idiots, that's been on for years.
Swill.
That's the stuff they put on $3 specials.
Exactly. all right. We got more whiskey stuff to talk about. Our whiskey conversation tonight is going to be about the Christmas bottles that we all exchanged.
Some of us didn't finish.
There's 3 out of 4 bottles here. And we're going to talk about that. That's going to be a great time. Got some great whiskey right in front of us. It's going to be fun to rehash. For the beer review, we're going to do a Hidden Hand Alarmist collab. Excited about that. Double Hazy IPA, 7.6%, I believe. I will definitely fact check that. And then for our last restaurant news little bit, we got our Customer of the Week coming up, the Question Master. This is a very specific.
No, are we doing the Question Master?
Oh, no.
No.
No, that's still up there. We bounce it. The
this
Master Customer of the Week.
I mean, the trifecta.
Trifecta. Yeah. We just witnessed
we'll just call it
this.
That.
I forgot it. The trifecta.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be great. And then next up, we got our yearly industry ebb and flow.
Yeef.
Love it. And right now, for us, it's March Madness. Lots of games on. St. Paddy's Day just happened. Thank God nobody was walking around with like green beers and trying to walk into the restaurants, but there was definitely some drunk people going on, hanging out. And March Madness is like the number one for me.
Dude, it's one of the best sports weekends.
Oh, it's great, but it just kind of causes, you only have 2 TVs.
Yeah, and there's 4 games going on.
More than that.
Yeah.
Oh. On Friday, on that Thursday,
yeah,
Friday.
I don't think there's any more than 4 at a time.
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
But still, like, it's a big day drinking weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, you crush, like, more Miller Coors Light bottles than double hazy IPAs. And people are just chugging. And then my favorite part of March Madness is like, hey, can you turn on True TV? Like, you never hear that any other time of the year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No one wants to hear, like, or watch, like, whatever. I don't even know
TBS,
what's on
TBS, TNT. Oh, was on True TV?
You have no idea. Yeah.
The courtroom stuff.
Yeah. That's so, like, in like 7 years ago, it was like the biggest confusion was what channel is True TV? I've never heard of that before. But now you don't even like search channels anymore. Like, you just search sports and there it is. But yeah, the March Madness was insane. Maze actually doubled their beer sales for the week because of those 2 days.
Yeah, it'll do that to it,
which is wild. And it was like all $4 beers.
Yeah, the value ones. Well, you got to drink all day when March Madness is on.
My yeef was that the GM of Maze and Mash, Jen, who was in the last episode, left and put me in charge of ordering. So I ordered for Maze and had to think about what St. Paddy's Day and March Madness was going to be like.
Did you order extra Guinness?
We don't carry it. I mean, I ordered 2 cases and it worked out.
Nice. Went through it.
Yeah. And I ordered like 15 cases of Coors and Miller and it's all gone.
Killing it, dude.
Oh, it was by accident. I promise you. I promise you that.
But sometimes, dude, every now and then you gotta get lucky, right? Yeah. Every now and then, a blind squirrel
finds his nut.
Yeah, gets a nut. All right. Oh, nice. This is a newer segment for us. You got the Johnny. What? Yeah, Gary. What you got?
What you eat? What you drink?
What you eat?
What you drink?
Nice. Well done, fellas. So we talked about this before we were sitting down to record, and we didn't have a lot of new options, but we've talked a lot about this Pie Life on Roosevelt Road that sells slices of New Jersey-style pizza.
Dude, it's the best fucking pizza.
For $5, it's $5 to $6 a slice. Some are $6, depending on the style.
Just straight pepperoni is $5.
It's really, really good. It's not the biggest pizza like slice you've ever seen. New York-style slices are bigger than this.
Yeah.
But it's a good size slice for $5, and it's really, really good flavors.
I'm kind of a fatty, and I eat two of them, and I'm done eating after that. Like I could eat two full slices.
I could eat three of those, no problem.
Really?
Oh, easy. Dude, I could eat four if I wanted to.
Where is it at in Roosevelt?
It used to be Pita Life on Roosevelt Road in that weird strip mall, like in between Main Street and Blanchard.
Lorraine.
Lambert?
It's a corner the corner of a strip mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little brick
right next to like
strip mall. It's
right
weird,
next to like
dude.
Auto body shop.
There's trees like on one side of the sign. Across, you can't even see it.
It's across from the A&W.
There's an A&W?
Jeez.
How old are you?
No. Yeah. Isn't that what it's called?
What?
On the other side of the street is an A&W. No. What is it?
Stan's?
No. It's
Stan's
like
ice cream? Oh.
It's an ice cream spot.
Yeah. Stan's.
Oh. No. It's that red branded like ice cream place. Mm-hmm. A&W is like from like the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what is it called though. Now? It's called something. Custard? No.
Oh boy.
Yeah, who cares?
All right. We're moving on from there. But the pizza is really good.
Just
really
Google good. It.
They're closed on Mondays, which I made the mistake twice.
Andy's.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy's Custard.
Andy Stan's A&W.
Andy.
Right across the street from Andy's.
Yeah.
Pie Life. Check it out. Dude seems like a legit New Jerseyan though.
Yeah, it's a little off-putting when you talk to him because he's got no filter.
Yeah, and he calls you cousin.
Yeah, what's up, cuz?
Yeah, he says what's up, cuz.
He swears a lot. You just don't see that a lot in like Wheaton, Glen Ellen, like service industry.
Welcome in, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, yeah, this pizza's fucking good.
We got a fucking pie.
It's like he's from Wheaton. His kids go to Wheaton school, so he's.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like he knows anything around here.
They just moved here like a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I still don't think he does because he's constantly at work. Like, he owns the place and runs it. But he does have Mondays off, which is nice. But yeah, it's like one of those places like you order at the counter and they bring you the slice out, and there's like two things of like hot pepper flakes and Parmesan cheese and for seven tables. So it's kind of got a borrow and bag and choose, but pizza's delicious. Have you not had it yet, John?
I have not had it yet.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think I've ever like just actually gone into a place and gotten like one slice.
Well, you get two.
Well, I mean, two slices. I get a whole pizza when I get a pizza.
Oh, yeah. This is like a great, like, for like $12, you get two slices and a soda and you're out in 8 minutes. It's great.
Yeah, but I'm never in the mood to just like grab a slice. It's like I'm on a sandwich.
There are so many times where I think you and I are like so close to being best friends, and things like this happen, and I'm like,
to the pizza king of Chicago.
But don't you want to get like a pizza like the entire thing, the entire like?
Yeah, it's nice to have leftovers, but the whole thing is like a $36 investment. I'd rather spend $10 and have a full meal, and I don't. I could have like a 12:30 lunch. I don't need to eat again until 7.
I just feel so 80s. Let's get a slice, or 90s. Let's get
it. Now, is it because around here? What if we were in the city and like we were like doing it up and then
you're just walking from bar to bar?
See, like that makes sense. You're kind of like on the street. You're walking around.
Yeah.
You're half in the bag and you see a place with a slice of pizza.
Of course you're getting a slice, right?
But me driving down Roosevelt Road, I'm not going to stop to get a slice. I'm going to eat it in my truck.
What if I told you it was worth it?
What if I
told you?
No, you
can eat it there.
I would believe you and I would maybe try it.
There you go.
So next time you do a little like side job at Maze and you need to get, you're a little bit hungry, go grab a slice there and drive the rest of your way home.
And bring it in. Bring takeout to a Bourbon Belly restaurant.
Exactly. Bring some outside food in. They love that.
Yeah. There's no way that slice lasts when you pick it up until your next restaurant stop. I guarantee
just
it's
melts.
It's in your it's in your belly.
Oh, okay.
Like you're just woofing it.
Okay.
Highly recommend it.
All right.
We're we all love pizza. Everybody in Chicago loves pizza. I think this is a really, really great addition to the area. Different.
It's so good.
Different. All right. You guys thirsty at all?
Let's talk about Pie Life some more. That's so good. Oh, I'm so hungry all of a sudden. And I had pizza like seven times last week.
You're not thirsty, you're hungry?
Yeah, I'm ready for a Pie Life.
What's like the crust on it like? Is it like?
It's crunchy.
Crispy and thin.
Yeah, very thin.
Very thin, very crispy. Pretty crispy. Brick, it's not foldable.
Like a brick oven, like wood oven?
No.
Just crispy.
Sorry, I asked.
It's got great undercarriage.
Okay.
I'm telling John, I think you'd be really happy with it. And he does. They do different styles, like
an oversized slice.
Yeah, they're big.
They do. They're good size.
So like a medium pizza cut in fours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So do you want a medium pizza for $27, or do you want two slices and a soda for 12? Think about it.
Yeah, you're right.
And he's always doing different styles. Like the last time I went there, he had a white pizza that was just olive oil and ricotta. Really tasty. And then another time I went there, he had a Sicilian style, which is a little bit thicker crust. And it was just, he said it was a red sauce with mozzarella and olive oil on top. That's it. And it was effing phenomenal.
I made a pact with myself when I was born.
Oh, boy.
To never eat pizza alone.
Really?
What are you doing on Friday for lunch? Let's go get some.
All right, I'll go together.
All right.
Let's do that.
Cool. All right, now I'm thirsty. Are you thirsty, Gary? Are you still hungry?
Yeah, I mean...
There's
no pie left here, so I might have some beer.
All right, sweet. We're getting into the beer review now. This is a Hidden Hand and Alarmist beer. And John, would you do us the honor of telling us what the name of this beer is?
Well, I see it's called Bone X9 on the dock, but no, this is called... Oh, it's nine times. Bone, 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 bone.
Tell me what you gonna do. So this is called Bone, literally Bone, and then there's nine bones on the can. We don't need to do it again. In honor of Bone Thugs and Harmony, which is badass in my opinion. And who wants to get some sound effects over here?
That doesn't sound like boning.
You're doing it wrong.
I don't know where to go with that one. Okay. All right.
All right, sweet. So we got a hazy double IPA here. 7.6%. And Garrett, this has one of our favorite hops in it.
There's Citra?
Nope. All right.
Mosaic?
There you go. Nope, you got it. Nailed it on the first one. Citra. Nope, you nailed it. Cheers. Hidden Hand, Alarmist collab. I think it's only available at the brewery in Naperville at Salamoth. I had it. This is the fourth beer out of the four pack, and it's... I can't wait to drink it again.
Citra, Idaho 7, Centennial, and Simcoe.
Yeah, but that's Citra. That's good, isn't it?
Very good.
So wow. You even have the lyrics on the can.
I know. That's on the back part of it, they got that part. Nice tropical, easy drinking, almost like pineapple juice with a little bit of orange juice.
Oh, that's good.
We should have got a video of that.
This is way lighter than the beer that we were sipping on.
Mouth feels different, right?
Yeah.
It's like, there goes Pancake. Yeah, definitely. The mouth feel on that last one, like almost oaty.
Yeah.
It's creamy.
There's got to be oats in there or something.
Right?
Or some milk sugar.
Something. This is great, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend this. $15.99 at the Salamoth Brewery. Is a Hidden Hand Alarmist collab. It's awesome.
I'm giving this 8.4 because how easy it is to drink.
Yeah.
And how like it's got great flavor to it, but it doesn't like leave me full.
I agree.
I could drink two or three of these.
Nice. I'm going to...
And then go get a Pie Life slice.
Oh, perfect. I'm going to give it an 8.5. This is like exactly what I want to drink at 7.6. That's of this variety, crushable, like I said, pineapple juice, like a hint of mango and orange juice in there. So good.
Yeah, I agree. I think you definitely want to pour this, whoever you are out there.
Yeah.
I give it an 8.5.
Oh.
You know what, though? The bottle or the can is kind of deceiving what it is.
Yeah, it looks like it should be a stout, right?
Yeah, it looks like it should be like a stout.
It's all black.
or something. But I do. I mean, I like it. But like, I'm just saying, like, what's in there, what's being poured out of that can, doesn't appear to be what would be in that can.
Is it just playing mind games with you?
It is.
Oh. Makes me wonder if they had like leftover black cans and they didn't know what to do with them. They're like, all right, let's just put them in the collab.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
That makes sense. That's just a freshie. You don't have to drink the whole thing. I think it's great. Great job, fellas. We know you're listening out there. We love you.
Very good.
We look forward to the next collab with you guys. That'll be great. All right. Is it game time?
Yeah.
For whiskey?
Let's play. No, you want to play the game first
and then do
the whiskey?
Do you want to do the game or you want to do whiskey?
Game. Yeah, I'm excited about this game. Yeah.
You're excited?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So in honor of the legend himself, William the Refrigerator Perry, how many people do we know that have nicknames that are either appliance or restaurant or food related?
Appliance. Oh, yeah, like refrigerator.
Refrigerator. But it's restaurant related.
Yeah.
Every restaurant has a refrigerator, right?
When you first told me this, the first thing I thought of was O.J. Simpson, the Jews.
Okay. That's
an easy one, right? Because O.J.
So what I did is something different. There's so many dudes out there with like the names of like fruits or foods like Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah. But another nickname though, right?
Right. So this is a nickname game. So yeah. I'm going to say the person and who they are and what they did. And then I'm going to give three options for their nickname. And then you each are going to try to guess what their nickname is. Okay. So I have five different.
What are we gambling on?
Shirts. We've got to take shirts off.
Okay. So.
This is strip. Special podcast.
Do you have a tiebreaker?
There's five total.
Yeah, but do you have a tiebreaker? Like, what if we, like, I'm going to guess mine, John's going to guess his, and then.
No, there's no tiebreaker. There's five
people
that I've guessed.
If it's a tie, we both have to take our shirt off.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're not taking pieces of clothing. We're just taking shirts. Then we're not going to be nude here after
just
this.
Just bare chest.
Mike wins. Yeah. If there's a tie, Mike wins. All right.
Mike's winning no matter what. Someone's getting their shirt off.
All right. Bill Parcells, ex-head coach of the New York Giants and a couple other teams, but mainly the Giants.
You don't count like the Patriots or the Cowboys in that?
The Giants. He won the Super Bowl with the Giants. Did he win the Super Bowl with anybody else?
I mean, no.
All right, so here's your three options. Tuna, salmon, halibut.
Wait, what?
I know this
His
one.
His nickname. Bill, what is Bill Parcells' nickname?
I go first this time?
Tuna,
sure. I know
salmon.
You do?
Salmon.
Yeah.
Right, you go
salmon
first, then.
Or halibut. Just say it at the same time. It doesn't matter.
Three,
you could say the same thing.
One. Tuna.
Very good. Both of you have one. Good job.
One button down.
All right, I'll do a zip.
All right, so Vinnie Johnson, basketball player from the Detroit Pistons in the 90s, played on the Bad Boys team. Option one, the toaster. Option two, the microwave. Option three, the oven.
I have no idea.
I'm going to go with...
You've got a 33% chance to get it.
I'm going to say the oven.
Yeah, I was going to go the... Well, if you go oven, I'm going to go oven too. I think it's the oven.
Neither of you are right. His nickname was the microwave.
The microwave.
Vinnie Johnson, the microwave.
Oh, my God.
What a horrible nickname.
Yeah.
All right, the next three get one a little bit easier because there wasn't a lot of...
Why would you be named the microwave?
It sounds awful.
Because he would make you overheat. He was a dude that was
really?
Like headbutting people and stuff and like getting in people's faces. No, that was Mark Aguirre.
Okay.
They all did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But sounds the like microwave steroids. Was his nickname. All right. This is an easy one. Going to bring it down a little bit. Ray Leonard. Cinnamon, sugar, or sucrose?
Sugar.
That a boy. Good job. All right. Covelli Crisp. Fudge?
Wait, who's Covelli Crisp?
Who is that?
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you who it was. Ray Leonard, boxer. You guys
yeah, I got that. Yeah.
Covelli Crisp, outfielder for the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, yeah, I know
now
this
the
one.
Guardians.
I know this one.
Fudge, coffee, or cocoa?
I know
wait,
this
wait,
one.
Wait. You know this one?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Cocoa.
Cocoa, yeah.
Boom. You guys got it. And then this guy, Charles Davis.
He had cocoa on his jersey at one point.
No, I mean, Chris was on his jersey. Maybe he put it in his first name, but it's just a nickname. But yeah, his first name is Covelli. And then Charles Davis, baseball player in the 90s. He was with the Angels, the Mets, a bunch of teams in the 80s as well. Carrot, chestnut, or chili?
I'm going to go carrot.
Oh, this is one. This one's for top off. Right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go chili.
Ding, 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 ding. Johnny wins with a chili. Davis and Garrett's got to take his shirt off.
Oh, my God. Look at those nips.
Oh, my God. Thanks for humoring me. And
that was fun, Mike.
Can we turn the heat up?
Did you like that, Johnny?
Yeah, I'll turn the heat up for you, Garrett.
Yeah, thanks.
It's a little cold in here.
Oh, my God.
Get Vinny over here. We'll give you some microwave action.
So why would his nickname be Chili? Do you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why, like, Coco Crisp was his nickname or Chili was. I was just making that up about the Vinnie Johnson thing, dude. I don't know. I don't actually know.
The only other one I could think of was Arnold Palmer, based off of the drink.
Yeah, so there's lots of dudes out there that, like, have names. Their actual names are, like, O.J. Simpson is O.J., the juice. That I was just looking for, like, nicknames. I was trying to make it so it wasn't so obvious. Because, like, you know, O.J. Mayo.
Yeah.
Plays basketball. I mean, David Meeks is like a baseball player, basketball. I mean, like, there's so much out there. So I try to narrow it to.
All right, Garrett, put your shirt back on. You look freezing. Let's get in some whiskey here.
Let's do it.
Fine.
All right, cool. Garrett, start us off.
All right, well, do you want me to talk about first of all, let's talk about that we wanted to do these on a podcast and then John drank his.
Let's talk about that. That's right. Nah, so there's supposed to be four bottles here.
Yeah, it's fine.
Garrett gifted 2 375s. Yeah, oh, we're letting it go.
Yeah, we're letting it go. It's fine.
It's okay. Yeah. I really enjoyed
that's good.
Week and a half.
So. And what did you get again?
I don't remember.
It was a Clyde Mays single barrel.
It
was like 105 proof.
The blue label bottle.
And it was good?
Great.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Jimmy. Yeah. I don't care that it's gone. There's so much whiskey down here. I don't care that it's gone.
I think I'm just a little salty because I wanted to try it. All right, let's start. I think we should start with the lowest proof to high proof. So I think we go, well, I guess these both are 90. Let's start with the Eagle Rare, though, because I think that'll be like the softest pour.
All right.
So we got Eagle Rare single barrel from Liquor and Wine. So Liquor and Wine is not in Chicago, but you can find it almost anytime you go on any vacation in any other state. It's like their version of Binnie's. That sound is just amazing.
Yeah, it's...
So...
it's an interesting bottle, like the size of it. Like, you don't see those too often.
Well, it's literally the exact same shape as a normal Eagle Rare, just shrunk.
Yeah.
375. It's a cute Eagle Rare.
It's really small in your hands, Garrett.
I've gotten that before. The fun part about those Eagle Rare bottles, even like you get like a 1.175 of it, it's just the exact same shape, just twice as big.
Yeah, those things.
Or 2.5 times as big. But yeah.
It's a pretty large bottle.
They're heavy. The case is only 3 bottles. So the mash bill number 2 from Buffalo Trace, Eagle Rare.
Dynamite.
I'm not sure when this bottle came out. I traded for a bunch of Eagle Rare during the lockdown. It's very possible this is from like 15 or 16.
Garrett, this is the one that you gifted Mike. Yeah. So Mike, I guess at this point, thank you for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. And Garrett, thank you for the gift. And this is fantastic. I think it's kind of got that cherry bomb, cherry cola finish like some of the Blantons we've had, single barrels. That's what I'm getting out of it, but it's pretty fantastic.
Oh, that's a really good Eagle Rare. This is back when they put out neck tags on them. And honestly, I've never seen another bottle with this neck tag. At the point of this line, it's the first bourbon ever to win double gold 5 times.
In San Francisco?
In San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. So
cool.
that's a really cool Eagle Rare.
That's a great Eagle Rare.
I appreciate you sharing it with us.
Oh, man, dude, thanks for the gift and thanks for sharing it.
I didn't think that you would have brought it.
100%. As soon as we talked about bringing these bottles on, I was excited about it because these are gifts and I need to drink them with friends.
Yeah.
I can't drink them by myself. That's also, I think the main reason why I don't open up a lot of nice bottles at my house that I have is because I'd be drinking them by myself. Like
it's that kind of boring.
It's really boring.
Yeah. Whiskey's meant to be shared.
One other person to drink it with would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So we have 2 more pours of whiskey. Do you want to do like in between the pours while we're sipping it, do the 2 customers of the week?
I mean, the one guy who took over 3 spots.
or the question master first?
Oh, yeah, we do the question master. Yeah, let's do the question master right now.
And then we'll get into the kissing cousins.
Another iteration of the question master.
Yeah, so
there's lots of you out there.
Yeah, so I think the first one was like every time you're making a drink and they recognize you doing a different product, they're asking you what the drink was and how you make it.
Yeah, what's in the cocktail?
Like, oh, is that basil I smell? No, it's mint. And then, oh, what's in that drink? Yeah. But this one was I picked up a bartending shift earlier this week, and this person was asking like every detailed possible question they could about the food that they had on the plate in front of them and the person next to them. Like they got this fish dish, and they're like, "Oh, did they start the saute of this? They sauteed this, right? And did they start this on the skin side or the opposite side?" On the skin.
Oh, it's getting to like high like details about how it's prepared.
Oh yeah, like they're taking notes, trying to like recreate this recipe at home. But I don't think they cook. But just very very interested in the specific process of how this food got prepped and cooked for them since they ordered it. It was nice to know that someone was interested. At some point, I thought that like something was wrong. Like, does it not taste how it's supposed to? Or is this, does that taste good? No, I'm just really interested in knowing about how this, like, can you imagine, like, if that's how you lived your life every time you went out to eat?
Nah.
Like, you came with friends, talk to them.
See, no, but I can imagine that that's like, I mean, we've talked about this before, the bartender and the patron.
Yeah.
It's like people come out solo and they want to.
It was a group of four.
Be social. But I mean, like.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough balance, you know, between the bartender and the patron to, like, you want to kind of entertain them with knowledge or stuff that they're asking about what they're eating or what they're drinking. But at the same time, it's like you have to move across the room and do all these different things.
Yeah.
And you don't have time, you know, for that all the time. So it's a tough balance.
It is a balance. And I think that makes a good bartender from a bad bartender, not doing one thing more than the other. But at some point I was like, just eat it.
Just eat it.
Like, I don't know what else to tell you, your guy.
At some point, you gotta like trust the people that are putting the food in front of you that they're like,
yeah,
they know what they're doing. It's coming from a reputable source. Otherwise, they wouldn't be busy or still be open.
Yeah,
if that was the case.
Yeah, I
get questions. People ask about like who our meat purveyor is, who our like fish purveyor is, like where do we get our lobster from?
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
It's a viable question.
Yeah,
do they need to know like when it was flown in?
Yeah, how long did it go from flying in to defrosting, or to what degrees was the water boiled at?
What would be the majority of these questions like happening during the meal? Like, is it more before, during, or after?
I would say like 50-50, not excluding this specific customer, like 50-50, like before they order and after they eat it, because they're like, they thought it was good and they're just kind of curious, and maybe if they find out like another meat market that carries that same, that uses that same distributor, they could, you know, try to duplicate it. For me, I don't know.
Okay.
You satisfied, Johnny?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I just,
when you've gone out, like you eat a lot of different, a wide variety of food. When you go out to eat, are you asking
Never.
How they prepare it?
No.
It just seems excessive.
I mean, like,
they should say it on the menu. Like, is it fried? Is it grilled? Is it, you know, like?
I've never reached out and discussed with like staff. I've always like discussed with like the people I'm with having dinner at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't great or this was great. Like, you know, they did this really well, that kind of thing. But I've never like asked chef questions to a waiter or a waitress.
Right. Yeah.
Or a bar, bartender. Never. I just don't feel like that. Like, why?
I think it's more fun to speculate with your friends.
Yeah.
How do you think they did this?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this guy did not speculate with anyone except for myself.
Well, let's...
Yeah, cheers to them.
Cheers to that guy.
All right, you want to move on?
And the next one, let's go.
Yeah. Journeyman Kissing Cousins. Oh, my notes. It's the...
That Eagle Rare is...
It's very delicious. I think maybe like one thing I have maybe asked in like a steakhouse was like, you know, once or twice, like, how did you get the char on the outside of the steak or that kind of thing. But
yeah, but it's after you got the food, right?
Like, well, they also they generally like tell you about that. If we've been to Gibson's, they'll tell you about the oven that they use. That it's at 18,000,
right?
Whatever.
Yeah,
gigawatts,
like that kind of thing. But I've never.
BTU.
Oh yeah, that.
Well, I don't know.
When was this fish caught, flown, and fried?
This is fresh salmon, right?
What lure did they use when they caught this fish?
Yeah.
Was asking for a friend.
Was this a long line or a...
Was it
braided? What was the last oil spill in the region before you caught this fish?
Yeah. What part of the Gulf was this fish taken from? Hopefully the more southern, eastern side of the Gulf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're right on Florida.
Thick and meaty down
10,000
there.
10,000 islands. All right, so we got Journeyman's Kissing Cousins.
Do we pour yet or we just got notes?
Journeyman's Kissing Cousin, which is 90 proof.
We had a listener tell us once that they hate the sound of the pour.
Yeah. I think you just turn the volume up for this episode just for that.
We just continue on.
Yeah. It's the Featherbone Bourbon. This is basically just their basic Featherbone Bourbon, which is 70% corn, 25% wheat, 5% rye. And this specific specific batch 5, which is used to be distributed outside of the distillery, which is now no longer. This specific batch is finished in Winecroft Winery Cabernet barrels. The more recent ones that you could find at the distillery are in different winery, but they collab with different Michigan wineries, use their Cabernet barrels to finish this for 3 months. So this is Featherbone Bourbon.
Finished in a cab barrel.
Finished in a cab barrel for 3 months.
That's dope. Cheers. Cheers, Bill.
Cheers.
Cheers to Bill.
Let's go.
Also, not cheers to Bill for stop distributing it to Chicago. I got to drive out of the distillery to go get it.
Can't you just like text him and ask him to bring you one next time he's in Chicago?
I mean, I will, but it's still an extra step.
I got you.
Like I would like to be able to serve this.
That's pretty good.
I really like this one a lot.
Yeah,
I definitely in the beginning of my whiskey journey, which is kind of the time right when I bought these bottles, I really liked wine finished bourbon. I'm not kind of gotten away from that, but I still think this tastes pretty good. Nice sweetness, but still also a little earthy. Also interesting that the fact that there's no barley in it, which most whiskey that we drink from the United States has a little bit of barley in it. This is a wheated bourbon, but instead of barley, it's rye.
I can't believe you
Johnny
guys.
Johnny hates it.
I can't believe you guys haven't opened these up and had a taste since.
Well, John, we make promises, and
I did say that I would finish this bottle by the end of the month when I got the gift. My at home drinking plummeted in January and February, almost non-existent, because I was doing so many drinking events outside of that. It just didn't happen.
Did we really say that we were going to review this? Like when we got them?
Yeah,
I think again. I think we talked.
Or didn't
about
we just
it?
Talk about this like last week? It was already gone by then.
We stopped
making fun of you like 20 minutes about this.
Take your shirt
20
off.
20 minutes ago. Now you do have to take your pants off.
Yeah.
I'm losing
your socks on.
I'm losing my mind.
We definitely talked about.
We teased it in the very beginning when we got the bottles.
Yeah. But
and then we talked about it like a week or two later. And then like.
I think there
other
was.
That podcast came up.
Kind of half-assed talks about it, to be honest with you.
Most of our talks were half-assed.
Exactly. So it fit the par.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah. Okay. We're not upset about it, Jen.
Okay.
We'll find another Clyde Mays single barrel, 7-year, 105 proof.
I don't remember. Then he's only had 5 bottles left.
Yeah. Let's go.
It looks so good.
I imagine it was good.
All right. Well, let's get on to the bottle.
How about the next customer of the week?
Oh, next customer of the week. Yeah. Oh, the trifecta.
I don't want to chug this whiskey yet.
The master customer of the week. All right, so
this guy's the Infinity Stone.
We just witnessed this at the Burger Social. We got a little bit of grub, getting a little warmed up before the show, and this guy sits down next to John. He's got a to-go box from Hale Street Cantina right across the street.
Yeah, Yeah. Okay, you can describe the scene.
Gets a Coors Light, has a Coors Light, it's got his box in there, and then it just starts to like kind of plummet from there. John, you could probably take it over because you had the best seat in the house.
Yeah, I was sitting right next to him, and he at one point, like he leans over and he goes, "The greatest idea I've ever had was going across the street to Hale Street, getting a burrito, coming back to Social, and getting hammered all afternoon, and now eating my burrito in Social."
He said that?
Yes. He said that to me.
How did I miss that till right now?
And I didn't even like say one word to him. He just like leans over like drunkenly and like says this to me.
Oh my God. So this guy's eating his half-eaten burrito out of his to-go box from another restaurant at Social's Bar. Slamming.
That's a, first of all, that's a no-no, right?
That's a huge no-no.
Should be bringing outside food in and eating it.
Can't be doing it. So, but he's just taking bites of his burrito.
You can bring it in, just don't eat it.
Yeah, you can't eat it. He had about half of his Coors Light, and then he switched over to something else. Was he drinking margaritas?
I think, yeah, something like that.
But he was slamming them. So he had at least two in a pretty quick succession.
All right.
So he asked the bartender, "Do you think you can get me a Philly cheesesteak?"
Yeah.
Did you hear that part?
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, we don't have that. We have
I believe he said, "I feel like a fucking Philly cheesesteak. Can you get me one?" I think he was swearing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So he says that. So the bartender orders him some food. Now the food's put
in. Wait. So he just finished this burrito.
Half of
and,
the burrito.
And the rice.
Right.
And it's
because he's eating the rice with the fork, right? So he's eating the burrito. He's eating the rice out of the to-go box. He orders more food.
The burrito did look good, though.
Gary looked like he wanted to have a burrito after that. So he orders some more food. And then as soon as the food gets put in, he passes out at the bar.
Yeah.
And this is sun up. 6 o'clock, maybe 5:30. Six o'clock.
He's got his arm crossed in front of him.
Hammered.
He's kind of reminded me of like my 7-year-old in the backseat of the car when like they're a little tired and the sun hits them through the window and their like head starts to bob, like their eyes are closed and like they put a hand down on the window but it's not holding up the head and it's just kind of like sliding down into the bar and then he pops back up.
So then the food comes out. After the bartender wakes him up and says, "You can't sleep here. You got to go." "I just got food." "All right, well, we'll get you a to-go box. You got to go." So the food comes out like right after that. He takes the to-go box from Hale Street Cantina, which still has a bed of rice in it, and starts putting the Philly patty melt and the fries into that to-go box instead of taking the new fresh one that was given to him.
Great. Social just saved 4 cents.
Did you hear him... say that, but say something about the Rumplemints that was being poured.
Oh, he wanted some shots.
Yeah,
yeah. We ignored him.
We got a couple of shots for ourselves before we came to do
one,
the podcast.
One, not a couple. One.
Well, no, I mean one. Yeah, one each. One each. Yeah. I got the Rumplemints. You guys had a pour of a whiskey. And I think he
did
saw.
He want some?
Yeah,
oh,
he
totally
he
wanted,
saw
dude.
The bartender pouring the Rumplemints.
Well, it was the old like drunken like. Like something like that.
Here. Right now.
Something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
So this guy, I think he hit up 3 or 4 customers of the week within a good... He only sat next to you for, John, maybe a half an hour. 45 minutes, maybe.
If that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like...
This guy was going... It's like he had listened to our podcast, and he was trying to get every customer of the week in one sitting.
Yeah, the only thing he didn't do was ask them a question about how the food was prepared or to change a channel to something else.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was on the cusp, though.
Yeah.
If he wasn't asleep, he might have.
Yeah.
He also leaned over and was like, I literally was not looking at him at all. I was like looking your direction, but he was like sitting right next to me. And I could feel him lean over and he starts talking to me again. And he goes, "Yeah, I just lost like 15 pounds, but... I really want to put back on 20 because I feel like I'm not bulking out."
So he's also.
What do you say to that?
So he's also.
Man, you're really strong. You look good.
I didn't respond.
You're doing good, buddy.
Yeah.
So another customer of the week is the guy that shouts out random things at other guests just to have a conversation because they'll say something back.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's they're it, across right the bar. Yeah, that's it. And he was right next to you. I'm sorry, you had to sit next to that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to you.
That guy's name is Mike. He's not doing it. He's not doing the mics any favors.
Yeah,
there's a lot of you guys. So you're fine. The average is out, just probably just fine. I feel bad for you, John, but definitely not wishing that I switched seats with you. That's for sure.
It was rough.
Yeah, I
that can't be the worst.
I feel like I've seen that guy at Nobel House before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And
that guy's been around Wheaton for a long time.
He's done that there too. Yeah. And he's been on his phone, like, I think he's going through a divorce or something too, like, or went through divorce.
He's single now.
And he's talking like, yeah, so.
He's just excited to be out and talking to other people.
Yeah.
So not a customer of the week, but I got a fun story. I left Burger Local today, and in the parking garage, there was someone talking to someone on their car, and it was going through the Bluetooth with the speakers. And the volume that the person was listening to of the person talking to them through their speakers was so loud that I could hear it from inside the kitchen at Burger Local, which is also pumping their own music.
No.
Oh my God.
And I go outside and it sounds like this lady is just screaming at him, but it's the actual volume of the car. And I make eye contact with the guy who's like sitting in his car, like on this like phone conversation. He looks at me like immediately turns the volume down. I was like, it is loud for me out here. I don't understand how your ears even are functional right now.
Oh my God.
It was absolutely incredible. I just tell you that. It kind of reminds me of like playing like a music video or like a video or something on your phone at the bar, like annoying everybody else. Just like walking through the parking garage. Everyone can hear what this lady's telling you about some TPS report.
Yeah. Speakerphone.
Oh my gosh.
Blasted.
Yeah. It was incredibly loud. Anyway, should we do the last whiskey?
Let's do the last whiskey. Kissing Cousins good. Fruity.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of Michigan wine. The grapevines are pretty young, and the terroir and the temperature there, most wine there, it tends to be on the fruitier side, not maybe like the big bold.
Not upset about it.
Anyway, so we got Baker's 7 single barrel, 107 proof. This is a shout out to the people who love the whiskey pour sounds. So fun thing about Baker 7 is that it's named after one of their master distillers who was Jim Beam's grandnephew. And it was nice of them to wait for him to pass before they actually named the whiskey after him. That's a joke. And the Baker 7...
I like how you said that's a joke before you even done like saying...
Yeah, like I'm trying to make fun of him a little bit. Like give the guy a little credit. The master blender or master distiller of Jim Beam, you should probably get something. The minimum age statement for their single barrels has to be 7. So a lot of their single barrels have been like 8, 9 years old. This one is 7 years, 10 months. It was barreled in March of 15 and then bottled in
22.
Bad math. Yeah, December of 22. So this is just something for us to like just mull over while we try this. The Jim Beam line has like a bunch of different brands like Basil Hayden, Knob Creek Small Batch, Booker's. Booker's being like the hottest, the highest proof whiskey. So this coming in at 107 is a little bit less than the Knob Creek Small Batch or the Knob Creek 9-year single barrel at 120. Although it is $10 more a bottle. So this is a little bit more expensive than the 120 proof 9-year. So that's just like putting like age and price in some sort of equation here. It's really up to you. So it got knocked down when it first came out because it was more expensive for a younger whiskey. But cheers.
Cheers. Johnny's gift to Garrett. Thanks for sharing, Garrett.
I'm glad I saved it.
Rub that in.
I promise I won't bring it up again.
You know, it really would have been nice to compare the 7-year to 7-year, but
if only we had talked about it before.
Yeah. 107 to 105 too.
Yeah,
I think this
would have been so close.
Especially after like a little like other sips of whiskey, I think that the bite on this is very low at the very end. Like it doesn't linger in the back
chill.
Of your throat. Yeah,
it's chill. I think starting off with the Eagle Rare was the right choice.
It's the softest one, right?
Yeah, and then moving on to where we're at, but the 107, I always talk about, is kind of like my threshold for, drinking it straight. Anything beyond that, I'm generally going to try to put a splash of water on it, proof it down a little bit, or make it into a cocktail.
Yeah.
Be honest with you. It's just my jam.
So this is like a $60 bottle at Binny's, if you can find it. It's not there
every day.
Wasn't
it more when it came out, though?
No, when it first came out, it was, everything was cheaper. So maybe like in comparison to other bottles, but
I think for a $60 bottle, I think it's a good value.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great value. And I think
I got it for like 80 though.
Well, you bought it from the restaurant. So yes, you spent more.
Who'd you buy it from?
Social.
Not from me.
From Bomb.
You bought that from Bomb?
Yeah. You said you went to downstairs at Burger Social's liquor room because you initially bought me
a bottle
that I picked.
That's right. That's right.
But I think it holds up really, really well in old fashioned or Manhattan, or I mean, really any whiskey drink that you're gonna put out there, because the proof comes through without it being bitey. With I think it's got good flavor.
And all those are single barrels, right?
Yeah.
So like the 13 that we had at that whiskey dinner, that was a single barrel.
Correct.
So
yeah, they do have a Baker's 13 that came out 5 or 6 years ago, almost the same time as this did. I think this one came out a year or two before, but. Yeah, the 13 I think is fantastic. The 7 years, like,
spread.
Put like the 107 proof against a lot of other 107 proofs that are like this price range. I think this one kind of beats them out.
I agree with that. Good bottle, Johnny. Garrett, thanks for
bringing
it.
That's why I was excited to get it.
It's a good one.
But I'm just curious, like, why would they wait 7 to 13 years
between putting out another single barrel version?
You said Baker's 13.
Yeah.
So remember, that's what we tried at the whiskey dinner that we did.
At Mace.
Not the Pappy one.
They do like a 10-year or like a...
Because Jim Beam has a lot of other products to put out, all the different Knob Creeks.
It's just interesting, 7 and 13.
All the basils. I mean, it's a weird number, right? I mean, I suppose like when they tasted them every year after 7, they wanted to put out one that was really good and weren't really too worried about the age statement on it.
It also could have gone into other products of theirs.
So maybe they tasted it at 14 or like, actually 14's too oaky, or this is going to be, should be slated for something else, but let's pull it at 13 out.
8 sounds better than 7 and 14 sounds better than 13.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. The marketing team was not involved in the selection of this. Neither was Mr. Baker.
1 year older always sounds better.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, I think this whiskey slaps. I think I love it.
I think it's solid. What does a pour of Baker's 7 and Baker's 13 go for at our restaurants?
Oh, man, if I memorize all that.
I think Baker's 7 is like a $13 or $14 pour, and the 13 is like a $16 or $18 pour. I think they're both fantastic.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Garrett's all over it.
I'm so close.
Jim Beam is
Baker's 7 is 12. Baker's 13 is way
close.
Baker's 13 is way more expensive.
20?
40.
40?
Yeah.
Holy Jesus.
The bottle's still worth it. The bottle is expensive.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't remember.
So, big
jump. I'm not sure it's worth 40. It definitely could be a typo. I doubt it. But it is really good. I think the biggest problem with Baker's 13 is that very few get released. So, I think Maze was allocated 2 bottles.
Doesn't Proof have a bottle?
Maybe.
Good whiskey. That's all we know, right?
Yeah. I also think that the company that owns Beam wants us to carry more of it. So they're like giving us more allocation. So maybe even if Proof didn't earn it, like here, have something else. And then if you want more of it, buy more of our products.
Yep. That's how they lure you in.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Well, well done on the whiskeys, gents. Good gifts, good drinking.
Great gifts.
Good backstories. Good back knowledge. Fact checking.
A lot of fact checking.
Fact checking.
All right, so we're going to wrap up this episode. The William
Adjectives.
Perry, the refrigerator, episode number 72 is going to come to a conclusion. We had great whiskey. We had great beer. Got to always shout out our boys at Hidden Hands and Salamote. They always are crushing it and doing a good job. Thanks for making this beer. The bone beer.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's not how it goes, but it's good.
That's how I like
bone, 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 bone.
We should leave this episode with that song.
If there's not any legal
or is there like a,
complications.
Is there like, like a karaoke version with like no lyrics?
There's probably an instrumental.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We love Bone Thugs and Harmony. Thanks for inspiring.
Also, if you play less than 6 seconds, you don't have to pay him anything.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Cool. Everybody take care of your bartenders and servers out there. They're working hard for you.
Ask them all the questions.
Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for always supporting us with the live shows. Everybody drink responsibly. Remember, April 30th, Tuesday at Proof Number 5, Michter's dinner.
Go to the website. You see all the information.
Five course meal. I mean, like, it's going to be off the hook. $125, well worth it. There's going to be some killer whiskey there. We're going to be hanging out. Come hang with us. For the next couple episodes on the Sipping Social podcast, we're lining up some fantastic guests from the industry, some that have been with us before, some who have not.
An owner, a master distiller, and
an owner of a microbrewery.
Another owner of a microbrewery, yeah.
And in the next couple episodes, we're going to release the next date for our live show, so keep an eye out for that. We're already starting to fill in the details for that. And Johnny, can you just scroll up? Is there anything else? Is that the end of it?
That's it.
Lovely. Any final, Johnny?
No final.
Garrett, any final?
Love you.
We all love you. Thanks for listening to us. And we cannot wait to catch the next cocktail with you. Have a good one.
See you at home.
Later.
Peace.
Garrett.
What?
Say it.
Love you. I thought I said my final.
And made a rap and put the bone.
Look at the back. Read that. No, on the back.
It should say that.
Back. Read the back.
What?
Read the back part.
It's like the lyrics. Is it?
Yeah, that makes me
what
feel better.
That
I also don't need light to read things either.
I got to put glasses on.
Old man.
All right, let's all go bone.
Dude, I can't tell that.
First of all, we'd like to thank our listeners, our families, and friends that support us. We couldn't do this without you. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Tell your friends about us. Big thanks to our producer, Johnny, in the Underground Studio. Also, a shout out to Johnny Perona and Davenport Ed. That's the rockin' music you're hearing in the background. Thanks again, and we look forward to the next cocktail with you.